Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're interested in buying or selling a home, there's only one person you should call, and that's Joe Azer. You can reach him at 571-989-2937. That's 571-989-AZER.
Hey everyone, Radio's Gigantor here. Just wanted to remind you all about our great sponsor, Don't Sleep Energy. You can check out their delicious energy drinks at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the Dukes promo code, that's D-U-K-E-S, to get a discount on your order. They have regular, sugar-free, and energy shots to give you the midday boost you need. Check them out at don'tsleepenergy.com. On Thursday, August 1st, the Chad Dukes Show will be hosting our Hall of Fame game watch party at Monk's Barbecue. The party is free to attend and will feature an in-person Money Monk at his own restaurant, plus a burger eating contest, drink specials, the debut of the Pigskin Burger featuring no white goop, a brand new Chad Dukes Show tea will be available at the event, and this will be the first ever candle exclusive episode. So save the date, August 1st at Monk's Barbecue for the Hall of Fame game watch party.
What is that, Lil? 12 hands in a row? Dukes, you son of a bitch, nobody's that lucky.
Now here's your host, the Big Silly.
Chad Dukes.
Charlie Hotel.
Alpha Delta. Yeah, Dukes, dig it!
There, but for the grace of God, do with me.
Well, a nickel-sized hell, and a damaged wind. We rode over New York, never let us back in. We blew out the lights, kicked the windows in. And when the law showed up, said they're gonna have to take us in. They're scared of my music.
You won't keep track of show titles, coward.
It's the Suns Out, Guns Out Brigade. Ladies, you're watching. Don't let your mans catch you with all this beef coming through to your goddamn YouTube filter. It is the Chad Dukes Show. For those of you that are not watching live on YouTube as we record this, first of all, shame on you. Go over to YouTube and subscribe, youtube.com/Chad Dukes Show. Gantor and I usually get together sometime on Thursday, put together a little show for you for a free Friday episode on Friday. That's the way it goes. So you could watch live for free if you are so inclined. Hello, Gigantor. How are you, brother?
Doing well. Wanted to wish you a congratulations on Jamal Adams coming to the Two-Tone Blue.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. That's not a guy at all that I'm worried about still being productive in this league. I expect him to come in. And, you know, Kevin Biard is a guy that you think is going to be able to just let him go because his leadership didn't mean much. Then you bring a guy in that's a, you know, it's a team first type of guy you're bringing in, which I'm very excited about. They're suffering under some delusion that they are ready to win this year. And I'll give them credit. They're spending like drunken sailors, but we'll have to see if that means anything in the South. Yes, if you are watching live, smash that like button. Appreciate that. Tor and I are in our respective abodes right now. Now, I thought you were moving, young man. Are you still in Arlington? It looks like you're still in the den of iniquity.
I am. I am in my my room now, still in the process of clearing out the room, but it is a pretty hollow scene here.
A hollow scene?
That's just trash bags of soundproofing.
The end of an era.
Packed up closet, nothing under the bed anymore.
There's the Deadpool bed, by the way.
Yeah.
For those people that aren't watching live, Tor just showed us the filth bed. The bed of sin.
I may have to just take this bed to the dumpster myself. I can't, because we got people coming in. The next tenants are coming in tonight.
Sure.
To see what they want to keep and what they want to toss.
And if they catch herpes because you slept on that bed for so long, who knows? You might actually be legally responsible.
Well, the fun part about this bed is it was somebody else's bed before I even got on it, and I just had to flip it over.
God.
So it'll be their choice to reflip or take what I'm giving them.
I remember being your age in what I like to call the mattress flip era. That is, we all lived in that era. You could get a free mattress and a box spring, and you're like, oh, I know some horrible shit has happened on this bed, but I'm just going to go ahead and roll them both. You're just hoping that whatever was shot into that mattress doesn't seep all the way through to the backside of the mattress.
Yeah, that'd be really nice. And it's not a very big mattress, and it doesn't have a mattress topper or anything like that. It's just a mattress. So hopefully moving forward, we can get what is it called?
That you a headboard, a you headboard. Fucking yeah, lummox.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. I don't even know. I don't know the last time I've had one.
You understand that's why you got that big grease fucking thing on the backside of your wall there is because you don't know what a headboard is?
Oh, that's what the discoloration is from.
Yeah. They call him the box spring bone smuggler. That's what they call him. But only in Arlington. That's why he's fleeing the state to get away from that moniker.
I did enjoy doing a little bit of handiwork in my room.
Oh, yeah?
Fixing the walls up after, you know, trying to take posters and pictures off of them. And a couple pulls took the drywall and the paint. And I was just looking at the just the wall behind it. And I couldn't leave the room with a bunch of holes in it. So I had to go buy the spackle and I had to go buy paint and a little paint spreader. Or I guess
you did the David Putty bit?
I did the David Putty bit and I puttied it up. And it always feels good. I'm a caveman in that if I do anything with my hands, it leaves me with a tremendous amount of satisfaction, no matter how bad the job is.
I mean, I understand, and I think that it's a commendable aspect of your character. There aren't many, but it does seem like you'll wash your own car. But you do have to understand that a red-assed baboon could do that work. I mean, if you were rebuilding a transmission, yes, or installing a garbage disposal, I'd be like, oh, this is a man's man that I'm dealing with here.
It shouldn't even be anything that I would have to look up a YouTube video on. It
sure.
Should just be, you know, inherently known. And nope, I'm in tutorials and I'm trying to see what putty is the right putty. And
Patrick Warburton, he's the right putty. You know what's funny, Tor, is that like, it's amazing what a useless piece of shit I still am with how much information there is on YouTube. And I don't know if you're technologically more proficient than I am, but I've been trying to get into at least being proficient enough to edit up a YouTube clip and, you know, put the tiles up at the end so people can click on all the bullshit that everyone else already knows. And I'm like, I can't believe I have this much information at my grasp, all these resources, and I'm still as bad as I am. I'm still the ignoramus that I am with this horse shit, because all you have is like, I mean, for just the individual video editing software, there's 10 billion walkthroughs for everything.
Yeah.
And yet I still fuck it up. It still looks like I'm using my toes to type on the keyboard. So you can double down on that. Now, I have found, I don't know if you've encountered this when you're looking up home improvement videos, those guys are all assholes. Like 50%.
Oh, yeah.
Of them are just flexes as to how much they know and then how cool their tools are in their toolbox.
It's always, hey, look at this circular saw bit that I just picked up, and it's perfect for this new board I'm trying to cut into. I'm like, okay, man, what grit sandpaper were you using 5 minutes ago? Because you kind of zoomed past that to get me to your new bit.
It's one of the great bits that when I was trying to figure out woodworking, and they're like, all right, now you pull out your Dremel. And I'm like, oh, I guess I need to go buy a Dremel. And it's like, okay, now you pull out your chop saw. And I'm like, oh, I don't have one of those either. So it's easy to make YouTube videos when you have $110,000 fucking wood shop to deal with. So
yeah, a lot of the case. This past winter I was tuning into, I guess there's a table builder in the Pacific Northwest, and he would go get massive trees and try to cut, you know, make tables out of the trunk or the base of the tree.
You forgot what a trunk was?
Yeah. And then, and I'm like, okay, cool. Let's see how this turns out. And he's loading up this giant, piece of trunk into a huge warehouse with tools. He's almost got like a crane and a lever. And I'm like, okay, this is not feasible for others.
He's a master at his craft. I mean, he's not a guy trying to teach you how to do it. He doesn't care if you live or die. I want to go ahead and give a big verbal nod to Paul Morris, who just gifted 5 Chad Duke Show memberships in the chat. Do me a favor, friendos. Go to the video you're looking at right now. If you're on YouTube, there's a little join button next to the name of the title of the channel. Click that. And then if you don't want to pay for a membership, all you have to do is toggle on accept gifted memberships, and you'll get one of those 5 bad boys that Paul just gifted in the chat. They don't go nowhere. Like if someone else comes in, if this stream ends, you can still accept one of those if they're still floating around in the ether. Thank you so much, Paul. Very generous of you, my friend. Have you gotten into burl hunting yet?
Burl hunt, is that what Dick Smokehand is all into with the big knots on the trees? Is that
I didn't know Dick Smokehand was into it because I found it myself. So I do like it. You do a great bit sometimes where like I'll put you onto something and then you'll just say a random name and claim that I'm ripping them off. I've never heard Dick Smokin talk about burl hunting, but
we talk yeah, about they're the ones at the beach.
They're those one giant night, yeah, knots in like these 1,000-year-old trees. And, you know, people go out and they look for a blown over tree and they see these burls, cut them out, slice those in half, and then they turn those into like incredible pieces of furniture because you have all this complex texture and different weaving of the different generations of wood as they're kind of getting gnarled up in this giant knot. I follow a couple. There's one, there's a place you'd love to follow on Instagram. It's called Gobby Walnut. Look up that place because all they do is they just fell. I don't even know if they're chopping them down, but it's these massive trees and then they plank them right through all the burls and it's just like beautiful. Like the wood itself is art. I would feel guilty about turning it into any type of furniture just because you're like, wow, this is incredible by itself. But they do a good job. And there's a bunch of assholes out there that go out looking for burls and not burl lives either. I go out looking for him, but it's difficult to find him even when he's in his clay animation snowman form. All right.
All right. I just stumbled across him.
That's, you looking?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for right there.
See if you can look up how I can lock my microphone levels too and why my headphone level won't go up on this fucking thing. Like if you can find out those two things, I'll pay you a bonus before you leave.
Okay, can do.
All right. Bunch to get to today on the show. I don't know if you saw what Shohei Ohtani did, but there certainly is some consternation surrounding a celebration that he had on the field. And I know that you were recently in the Far East, so I was hoping maybe, Tori, you could help clear up. This is a trend that we've missed here over in the United States of America, and that perhaps he's ahead of the curve yet again. Let me go ahead and thank Nick Liapis for the beautiful $9.99 super chat. Used a video yesterday to replace an AC capacitor, saved me $500. Okay, Nick, I'm happy for you. But for every video like the one you're watching, I was watching a video this weekend on how to replace a pool underwater light that has gone out. And I guarantee that if I would have followed through and fucking done what this video said, I'd be dead right now. Tor and I would not be doing the show. You got to look this up. If you get a chance, Tor, look this up. They do a bit where the entire housing of it's an electrical appliance submerged underwater and you have to remove the entire housing. You can't just unscrew a ball and put it in.
Yeah.
There's wires attached to it coming out of your pool, an active body of water. And then you've got to swap the whole thing out and put it back in. I'm like, thank you. No, if you are combining electricity and water, I'm probably going to stay away from that bad boy.
Yeah. The pool light situation is always an off-season fix. It shouldn't be all right, while the pool's full, we're fixing this thing up. All right, it's sealed back there. Maybe we don't go light, but if we were ever fixing this, the light in the pool at the lake house, it had to be drained. We couldn't yes. go diving in there while the water was full.
They're telling you you can do it with a pool full of water. You can swap out a giant fucking 7 billion watt light bulb, and you know what? I'll happily pay somebody not so I don't die. Thank you, Nick. Spider clamp, that button doesn't exist in my world. Spider clamp. You have a lot of admirable characteristics. Tenaciousness is not one of them. You like to do what Bruce likes to do, which most people I've found in their 50s like to do, is scream, well, I just can't figure it out. And that's the end of it. You're using your phone, is I'm guessing what's happening here. If you would like to accept a gifted membership, you have to use the laptop to toggle it on. Okay. People want to act like they're, I mean, these phones are fantastic
yeah.
that we have, but like to build in absolutely every bell and whistle that these very complex websites have onto their mobile platform, I think it's not cost effective. So just please go through the fucking desktop or the laptop and turn it on. It's nice if you want to buy a membership. I'm just saying you don't necessarily have to. Okay. Tor, I did want to show you this. I'm sure you're aware of it. It's not exactly breaking news anytime it feels like breaking. But I'm not the, you know, baseball dukes. I'm usually up on everything going on in the world of Major League Baseball. I consider myself an expert. I talked about it for many years. This was a game between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Philadelphia Phillies. And if you're listening on the podcast right now and you can't see the video, don't worry about it. We'll explain it, or you could just go find it for yourself. But this is Shohei Ohtani, who is a $700 million baseball player, for those not in the know. He's also may or may not be a gambling addict that may or may not have paid a personal assistant to go to the clink for I forgot how many years it was. These are all allegations, of course.
Yeah,
Tor. There's no proof, but I've never seen a fucking conspiracy die as quickly as the one surrounding him and whether or not he was gambling or it was his interpreter. But did you see this clip already?
I saw it last night. I'm familiar, and there's a good amount of discourse surrounding the clip as well.
So I've got the volume turned down. Shohei steals. There it is. So he steals second base. And rather than pump his fist, rather than do the Jersey Shore, okay, rather than Vogue or anything else he could do, the come on ride the train, he could do the gritty tour.
He could do the bow and arrow. There's a lot of stuff. A
lot of athletes do the bow and arrow. He decides not to do that. He decides to remove his batting glove and then hang it down by his genitals and then jerk it back and forth. What makes this so amazing is that of all the sports that are still existing, they're all kind of falling into Sodom. You know what I mean? Like, you can celebrate, you can dance in football every time a linebacker makes a stop for only a yard. You have to wait as the entire defense runs into the fucking end zone and they do some elaborate fucking group celebration. Like, you know, sportsmanship and act like you've been there. That's all out the fucking window. And if you say anything about it, well, you're an old fogey and a boomer and you don't understand and blah, blah, blah. Baseball is as far away from that as you can possibly get. It's as far as you can still get to being a traditional sport. And even then, they get caught up in some stupid fucking debates, like if you should wear stirrups or the pants are too baggy or the elbow armor or, you know, all the DH kind of that whole thing's been settled and the wild card and all this shit. I mean, they're perverting their sport like everybody else is for television purposes. But
oh, yeah.
Would you say that they're the most old fashioned?
I'd say, yeah, out of the four main, baseball still most old fashioned,
hockey
still most traditional, and golf doesn't count in that because golf is not in the top four.
Golf doesn't count, but it used to be that it was that tour in Phoenix that everyone acted like Happy Gilmore at, and now I feel like that's spread a little bit. And then with the what is it, LIV as well, like you have some modernization of all of these activities, including the WNBA, which now has turned into professional wrestling. Who gives a shit? The guys calling the game, and I have the clip muted because I'm sure I'll get claimed. You get claimed for everything on YouTube if you don't fucking whatever. They don't mention it at all. They don't say a fucking word. Like, they are sitting there pretending it didn't happen. I mean, I guess there's a small chance, Tor, that the play-by-play crew didn't see what had taken place. I don't know how that's possible because you have maybe the most famous baseball player on earth jacking off at second base. I mean, what else would he be doing here?
Now, here's the brilliance of this celebration is that he can guise it with, I'm shaking dirt out of my glove with the other hand. Like
I shook dirt out of my glove earlier on Tube Galore. Like, look, they tried to edit it out of the replay, too. Let's see if they get it on the third replay. All right, watch out. Watch out. Shohei's about to beat off into the second base.
Oh, they cut it. Of course they did. No fun in the truck.
By the way, remind me to shake out the dirt before I go out tonight. My wife's staying in. I don't want to get myself in any compromising positions. Tor, why would he get up and immediately have to vigorously shake out the dirt right in front of his dick?
His teammates told him to. He said, if you get a steal, this is your celebration. I think that's how MLB players keep themselves entertained through 162 games of season is, hey, we're going to have to start doing bits on the field.
Okay. All right. Let's just say you're right. Okay.
Okay.
What if they said, hey, Shohei, as soon as you steal second base, pull your baseball pants down and paint your ass red. like Major League Baseball is probably going to have a problem with that, correct?
I'd say so. I'd say that the MLB wouldn't love that.
So did they just want to get him? Did they just want to get him once, or is this something that we're going to see again in the future? Because trust me, in my rigorous prep for this 1 hour, I did no follow up. I didn't bother looking up what other fucking thing after I saw that video.
Well, I'll be tracking the next Dodgers game to see if anybody else steals and if they would replicate that. If it's a take turns, now you get a steal, now you do the jack-off celebration. Like that's what I'm going to have to try to follow up and see.
Is there any type of a cultural barrier that they will be able to use? Because do you remember when Marshawn Lynch dove into the end zone, turned around backwards, and grabbed his Charles Dickens?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. How could I forget?
I feel like that was a really big deal. Like, I feel like that took us a long time to fucking get over as a community, the fact that he was going to. And now, like, the NFL was horrified by it. And now every time that guy does a hit piece for Thursday Night Football or his new podcast with Gavin Newsom, I don't know if you saw that, but
yeah,
can't wait to listen to Politicking with Marshawn Lynch and Gavin Newsom. Now they show it in the highlight clips of him grabbing his Charles Dickens. So that shows you how much the culture has shifted.
He had the initial run, which was a spectacular run. And I think, okay, he was fired up in the celebrate. He just broke 9 tackles. It was one of the best runs in NFL history.
Right.
And then maybe 3 years later against the Cardinals, he had a similar play where he threw off Patrick Peterson and then he did it again. It became the hold my dick is my celebration on an awesome run. And he gave an encore and we're like, okay, so that was the intention the whole time. He ended his own discourse with a follow-up encore great play and the same celebration. So I was okay with that celebration when it first happened. I don't know. You hit me at the right
look,
time.
Look, I'm not a fucking, I'm not sitting here with my white wig doing any judging, but it's bizarre. And we've never seen a guy effectively pantomime beating off into his opponent's face. Like, I've just never seen that. So I thought it was at least worth bringing up on the show.
I think it's possible that Shohei's also a big dork and they know he's a big dork and he will get a laugh out of this if they, sure. You know, if he does it. So this just seems like very childish baseball hijinks at it. But I also like that Shohei is the $700 million man and still willing to do it.
I think he's a weird fucking guy. And I think that kind of it. I've hung out. I won't say who, but I've hung out with some weird fucking guys. And when you realize that now, I'm a guy where I need everything to make sense, Tor, like I need to know why you thought that was a good idea. Like, take me through your thought process. But once you realize, oh, he's weird, it ain't going to make sense. Like, it doesn't make sense that Hotman won't shop in a grocery store because 10 years ago there was a grocery store near his house and it was difficult to get into the parking lot. You know what I mean? He's a multimillionaire and he still buys his paper towels at 7-Eleven. Like, as soon as I get it out of my head that I need his bullshit to make sense, my life gets a lot easier. Not that I'm comparing Shohei with the hot man. You never want to do that.
We've termed that as a lost cause factor. All right.
Okay.
Just say, lost cause.
You and have those in your life?
Living with 3.
Yeah, I think you live with a couple of them. So I texted Tor before the show today, and I said, hey, man, I emailed you over some stuff I want to talk about. Let me know if there's anything going on in your life that you think would be noteworthy. And he said, well, the house I live in is tearing each other apart because of movie night. And I'm like, that's a pretty benign thing to have a lot of agita about. When is movie night at the House of Happiness, by the way?
Well, we try to do it whenever the whole house is together. We try to just run a movie starting at about 9 p.m. Everyone starts going to bed around 11, 11:30. And it's a good cap to the night for the house. Historically, it's been a good wind down process, little house bonding. But in Gigantor's last week in the House of Happiness, it's become, okay, we're doing movie night every night this week.
Because you got to get it all in.
Trying to get it all in.
You got to watch Paul Blart and the Zookeeper as many times as you possibly can before one of the principal members leaves the state. I get it.
We watched Paul Blart in February, I think.
Like, holy shit, we've got to watch all these Lego movies before Tor heads up to No Joking in Hoboken.
Oh, that's a glass house right there.
Hey, I ain't watching the movies, motherfucker. I watch them live action joints. You know that.
I've heard decent things about the Lego Batman movie.
Let me know how it is. I'm sure it's next up on the itinerary. So what's going on? Like, usually what usually happens is I give you a beautiful movie to watch and you tell me to go fuck myself and you guys, you know, go watch The Beekeeper.
Well, we decided that each for the four night we'd have Monday to Thursday movie nights. And then each member of the house would do a would pick a movie. Everyone gets one movie, final week, all judgments is you know, this is your movie that you're sending the show out on.
So you're doing the Waterhead Film Society is what you're doing. You guys are ripping off our bit. I see, that's fine. Steal from me or stealing twice, brother.
So Monday rolls around and we just I think we'd come back for some indoor golf simulator thing, and it was fine. And we come back and then Sleepy says, hey, you know, I'll start this thing off. All right, I'll pick the first movie.
I'm gonna kick this motherfucker off, kick the tires and light the fires, Big Gigantor.
And we're like, okay, cool, let's get this week going, we'll get it started, where everyone's gonna be excited, pumped. All right, let's get some movies going. He picks 10 Cloverfield Lane to kick it off on Monday with
why didn't you fucking call me, man? I would have told you, there ain't one Cloverfield movie that's worth watching but Cloverfield. That's the only one. And once you've gotten that, it is over with.
Well, yeah, the madness started after that first movie, which
Randy Savage was there.
I didn't hate 10 Cloverfield Lane. I thought it was fine.
Okay.
But Honky went on a bit of a tirade after. Oh, that movie sucked. That movie sucked.
Do you like movies where for an hour and 50 minutes, nothing at all happens, and then they give you 25 seconds of something interesting at the end? Because that's 10 Cloverfield Lane.
You guys are similar in your thought process.
But you know what? Give Honky my phone number so that we can start our own house of happiness when you go up and hang out with your hotter chicks.
Well, I'm not trying to... there's much more development here, but Honky's okay. Like, I didn't like that the movie was all shot in one room. I didn't like that Goodman was right and wrong. I'm like, okay, all right, fine. You had some quibbles with the movie. We'll try to get it back tomorrow night.
He likes a more straightforward approach, as do I. Honky and I would be fucking like-minded. I do have a movie recommendation for you after you're done listing all the horrible things you've wasted your time on.
This leads us to Tuesday night.
Okay.
Tuesday night, we're starting to get a little close to the timetable. I say, all right, my night. I'll pick Tuesday.
Because you're when are you leaving? When are you wheels up?
Wheels up early as hell Saturday morning.
So you're like, I mean, you're approaching 24 hours out at this point. So these guys, they're probably also toward they're putting a lot of their personal feelings, like they're not in touch with the fact that you guys are clearly in love with each other. And like, so they're way too emotional about the fact that the house is breaking up. So, and they can't express that to you because they're closeted. So they have to channel that shit into these awful movies that you're watching. And so that's probably why you're all juiced up about movie night, about Waterhead movie night.
I'd say Waterhead movie night is it's going about as exactly as you could expect.
Okay, fair enough.
Tuesday night rolls around. I come down and said, "All right, I got the movie." I throw on Miami Vice, and I say, "All right, let's."
You got the movie, brother.
I had the movie, and then I hadn't seen Miami Vice before, but I saw that there was some discourse about it on online because I guess it was being shown in New York, and some people had a problem with it. Or there was just discourse about it.
Well, discourse means like conversation. Do you mean discontent?
Yes. It was more of an angry discourse about.
Okay.
Miami Vice.
Sure.
And I say, okay, let's turn it on. Boom, rent it, and then immediately volume down. Got it. The movie started, and that song started, and it was louder than hell.
What are you talking about?
Miami Vice. The intro scene with that Jay-Z Linkin Park song.
I don't even remember that being all that loud. So I don't understand. The movie got you out of the song.
No, it set the tone. That the intro, the 5-minute intro, set the tone for the whole movie, which was, I'd say, the most aggressive film I've ever seen, I think.
Are we talking about the same movie?
With Colin Farrell and Jamie Foxx?
You think Miami Vice is the most aggressive film you've ever seen?
Maybe I'd say testosterone filled is a better word.
Okay, do you remember what I was talking about earlier with Shohei, where I just gotta remind myself that when you're dealing with a low thinking person, not you, I'm not talking about you specifically.
Yeah,
the Miami Vice, where they're dancing in the clubs and they're driving on the boats, and I'm a fiend for mojitos.
Yes, it was. It was a very, I liked Miami Vice. It was fun, a lot of action. I thought Colin Farrell's, Colin Farrell was out of his mind.
He's a little over the top in that film. Yeah, yeah.
And I, you know what? And I didn't mind it because I kind of walking into it, I'm like, okay, Shud likes this movie. The Tube likes this movie.
I love that movie.
There has to be a reason they really like. So I'm like, all right, let me just put the lenses on and try to just see what this movie has in store for me.
What lenses? The old man, the old washed up man lenses?
No.
What are you talking about?
Let me try to get myself as fired up as I could be in 2006 lenses. Like, this is, let me put myself in this era.
Because that's fucking, that might as well be the Cretaceous period, according to you. Jesus Christ.
It was a bit of a snapshot.
All right.
I liked it. I think Sleepy walked out with 20 minutes to go. Humpty walked
during
out
during the shootout.
Humpty walked out with 40 minutes to go, and Honky stuck it out until the end with me.
Those guys, it stuck it out. You get fucked. Tell them, you know what? He's back out of the fucking. I was going to start a new movie club with Honky or whichever one is saying nice things about the fucking whatever, dude.
I was the only one that liked Miami Vice.
What are you guys looking for in a movie exactly? Like, I don't understand, because there's espionage, there's fucking drug running, there's cartels. I mean, there's one of the best shootouts in the history of movies at the end. Like, what didn't they like about it?
They just, I don't know what they didn't like about it. They didn't like how everything was intense. I guess they didn't think that much happened. I thought that the pacing was incredibly fast. Okay, let me give a breakdown here for you, just to give.
Have you morons seen Heat?
Yes. I've been trying to rewatch Heat with them.
Because did they like that?
They don't want to rewatch Heat. I guess that it's not in their ballpark. Honky likes Ricky Stenicki.
Oh.
Sleepy likes Interstellar. And then Humpty likes British movies and and Good Time. Like that.
He
that's
likes Hot Fuzz, and he likes fucking Shaun of the Dead. Is that his angle?
So I'm working with two dummies and a pseudo intellectual.
How many times has Ricky Stenickety been screened in that house?
I'd say every 2 months, the other guys is playing on a Sunday, and I'm not joking. This is every 2 months.
I think I punched the fucking mute button. I was flailing around so much. My bad. God damn, that's funny.
So everyone's kind of off on their. We have terrible, terrible movie chemistry as a foursome. We're never like leaving a movie, even a good one. Like I put Get Shorty, Snatch, good movies
Those are great movies
that I know are winners. It's like, oh, everyone's like, oh, that's a good movie. That's the closest we can get to chemistry as a house watching film.
Now there is an allegation here in the chat that your generation is intimidated by masculine movies. And hearing the movies that you have consensus on and hearing the movies that you guys have a problem with, I don't want to fucking just say that that's spot on, but do you think there could be a kernel of truth there?
Well, it could be. I mean, but we all love Dune 2. We all love Top Gun Maverick. There are movies that we do get
those into. Are damn near perfect movies. I mean, that'd be very difficult. If you don't like those movies, I would question whether or not you like movies for the most part. But okay, there's some masculine. Well, maybe they just really like Zidania fucking whipping ass over all the horrorcores or sharkcores or whatever those guys did. What's the name of the fucking? What's the name of the elite troops surrounding the fucking emperor in Dune 2? They got a really cool name. They're the ones that fuck up the Atreides. Like, they send those guys on top of 10 billion fucking Dave Bautistas in that first movie. I'm like, this is a little bit of overkill, I think.
The
Sardaukor. Yeah. Fucking, I want to start. If I was going to start a motorcycle gang, like I watched Bike Riders, the Bike Riders, the Tom Hardy movie.
Yeah.
That Elvis is in. And they start a gang and they're called the Vandals. And I'm like, no, that's stupid. I would want to be the Sharakor, whatever the name of that shit is. We just have big ass swords and helmets and shit, fucking ride around terrorizing people, hitting them with hunter killers. I love it. How do we get to Dune again? I forget.
We were on Tuesday night of the House of Happiness movie club.
Okay. You walked half of the house with Heat.
Or with Miami Vice.
With Miami Vice. Now, do you take offense to that? Do you say, hey, I sat here through all of 10 Cloverfield Lane with your dumb asses?
No, I'm the only one that actually watches a movie through and through, not on their phone. So, you know, the other three are always, you know, crabs in a barrel fighting about who's on their phone the most. I'm not on those allegations.
I don't understand. So they all acknowledge that is a negative thing to do, is to be on your phone and disconnected because you're not going to sit down and be able to enjoy a film. But then they continue to do it and then fight each other about it?
Yes. They will just be, oh, you're not even watching. It can't be at me. I can't be involved in another level.
Just put the phone upstairs. I mean, seriously, just leave your phone in your bedroom if you're going to. All right. So I'm going to interrupt you just briefly, and then I want to hear the remainder of this. But you just gave me something that I wish would happen to you guys before you leave. There's a movie that I'm going to recommend to you called Miller's Crossing. Okay.
Okay.
It's the Coen brothers. I believe it's their second film. And it stars a guy that is a star, but should be a much bigger star. His name is Gabriel Byrne. You should Google him. You'll recognize him, but you won't be able to name one thing he was in because he didn't reach that, you know, Patrick Swayze, fucking Tom Cruise, Alec Baldwin, you know, the heights of his career. But it's got all the Coen brothers guys in it, and it's kind of before they mastered their craft. But it's a fucking 10 out of 10 movie, okay?
Yeah.
And it's about these – what's that?
I'm looking at this guy now.
You recognize him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a 10. He plays Satan in that End of Days movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, which is a terrible movie, but he plays Satan. In this movie, there are two gangs in Chicago kind of like going back and forth. There's an Irish gang and an Italian gang, and he's kind of bouncing back and forth between them, okay? There's a scene where the cops decide they're on the Italian side, and there's an Irish bar. And these are the cops, they take a big fucking petrol bomb and they throw it in the window. Okay.
Okay.
The bomb goes off. One of the assholes comes flying out on fire and they say, any of the rest of you dickheads, come on out. And one dickhead comes out, they blow his head off. And then the last guy like, all right, I'm going to start shooting at the cops. Yeah. And they break out like a World War II machine gun. And there's 700 guys just shooting into the fucking house and they just kill everybody. Right. I'm not saying that's what I'd want to happen to the House of Happiness, but when you say things, when you tell me the things that you're telling me today, I'm not saying it to Gigantor. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I'm tracking.
Sure.
It gets there's more layers on Wednesday, which was now we're on to Humpty's selection.
Kevin Smith makes a great point. I'm glad they showed how much they're going to miss Tor by walking out on his movie. I mean, that is not, you are not showing any unanimity there, Gigantor.
No, we are not working as a fist at all. We were just four fingers on a hand.
Did
Nobody
you play that card? I would have played that card. Hey, motherfuckers, I'm leaving the state. You're going to sit here and watch Sonny and Tubbs fucking take down this crazy drug dealer. Maybe you fuck off to wherever you come from. What a great movie. You guys are fucking wild, man. All right, so fast forward to Wednesday of the Waterhead Fortress Film Society.
Yep, Wednesday rolls around, and it's Humpty's turn. And Humpty is trying to, you know, get us to watch, like, some British movie. Like, he was trying to get us watch Trainspotting. That was his first suggestion.
Okay. I mean, people love that movie.
Which I'm like, okay, you know what? It's a movie that I will watch eventually. I'm not someone that doesn't watch, you know, there are some really good British movies that I will enjoy.
But it's not the British part for me. It's the drug culture stuff. Like, people that are really into blow. And I mean, it's just that movies that kind of, I don't want to say romanticize drug use because Trainspotting doesn't do that. But I've never used hardcore narcotics. So it just has never appealed to me the way that it does to a lot of other people.
Yeah, it just didn't feel, it wasn't really meeting the vibe. And then he pulled out his backup movie, which was The Pianist. With Adrian Brody.
You are fucking shitting me.
So we watched The Pianist last night.
So hold on. So four dude bros sitting around dude broing it the fuck up. You shot down Trainspotting for The Pianist, and one of you picked The Pianist, and they had the fucking balls to walk out on Miami Heat? Miami Vice? What's the name of that movie?
Yes, Miami Vice. Honky did not watch, I think he watched the first 10 minutes of The Pianist and then left. And
he did not
watch that movie.
I'm Ubering out of that. I'm not even driving because I'd be so angry. I'm like, I don't want to drive with rage behind the wheel. I'm going to Uber to a field and sit in it before I realized how much I've wasted my life being this guy's friend.
Well, Honky wanted to watch the new The Real Bros of Simi Valley movie.
Hold on a second. You brushed over that. Did you sit through The Pianist?
I watched the whole movie. I hadn't seen it before.
Sounds like you liked it.
I kind of liked it. I'm sitting here. Look, I thought Brody put on a good performance. I thought he did well.
Oh, wow. I've never been in a movie club like the one you're in. I have to say, it's the most unique one I can think of.
It's the worst chemistry you could find because there's only one real, there's two real decision makers that are making the movie choices. It's me that's going to give good movie shouts that I hear from you and I write down on my show sheets.
Thank
or
you.
Or it's Honky who just recommends awful movies, a terrible, just bad ones.
But you shouldn't, you can't say it's good for, if you don't like Heat, then don't listen to anything else I say, because we're not on the same wavelength.
Yeah, but like, Heat is like the one. That's like the one where I wasn't in love with it the first time I watched it. But you've hit home run after home run for me. You know movies I like.
No, I'm sorry, I don't. I have no idea what movies you like.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Listen to me, bud. Dude, come on. Who the fuck isn't liking Smokey and the Bandit? I can't take any credit for Smokey and the Bandit.
This house might walk out on Smokey and the Bandit. I will watch it.
They're just looking for what it sounds like is you guys go out to ice capades and you wonder why there aren't monster trucks down there on the fucking ice. Like, that's what it sounds like. or vice versa, probably more accurately put. You got caught to the fucking hockey game. You're like, hold on a second here. I thought this was supposed to be roller derby. Like, I don't know what the fuck you guys are looking at watching movies.
We have definitely deteriorated with our friendliness with one another when it comes to the movie selections. It's just become a bloodbath. Nobody's even given like a 3 out of 5 anymore. Or it's either a 1 or it's this is my movie and it's a 5.
The fact that Trainspotting was shot down and The Piano was ratified is really all you need to say about this group of individuals.
Oh, I would not watch The Piano again. The Piano is one of the worst.
You just told me you loved it. You just told me.
It's The Pianist. The Pianist and The Piano.
Oh, I don't know the difference. Is that two different movies?
The Piano, much worse. I had to watch that in a film class in college.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were talking about. What's The Pianist?
The Pianist is with Adrian Brody, the World War II movie.
The Pianist is what Jimmy broke, and we're trying to get those injections so we can get him straightened out. Tim Cullen, $2. Thank you. The Tart Movie Club. Yes, this is not a sweet movie club. It is a very tart movie club. I would have to agree with that. Thank you, Tim. All right. So what was the third night? So we've got Miami Vice.
Yeah. We have 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Okay.
Miami Vice.
Pianist.
The Pianist. And then Thursday night, up for grabs. We have one more movie night selection, and I can't reveal it on Friday today.
Today's Friday's episode.
Yes. So I've forgotten what we watched on Thursday night.
It would seem to me that you would already know, considering it's Friday at 2 p.m. when this fucking show drops.
Shockingly enough, I didn't write that one down. So
let me ask you something. Do you get a say? Like, are you going to be able to throw a movie into the hopper?
On Thursday night, I believe I had a say to make sure that the house wasn't watching a bad movie.
Why don't you watch Miller's Crossing?
I will recommend Miller's Crossing. For
do they
sure.
like? Well, hold on. Do they like Goodfellas? I mean, do they like gangster movies?
They
most
like
dudes
gangster
do.
Movies. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's one of the best gangster movies I've seen. So, I mean, if that's in your fucking wheelhouse, Enoch says, "Can you imagine four alleged bro dogs sitting around watching The Piano?" No, Enoch, I can't. That's why the whole goddamn thing is so mystifying to me. I've never heard of one dude sitting around watching The Piano, much less them shooting down another movie and saying, no, this is more the cut of our jib. I don't think you guys like movies, Tor. I'm curious, why isn't there like a television show night where we're going to sit down and watch Breaking Bad or The Wire or Ozark or something?
It's mostly TV show nights, but I like movies more than TV shows, so I think we leaned into movie nights for my last week. But it's mostly Humpty and Honky and Sleepy watching whatever new Game of Thrones TV show there is.
Just watching that Squid Game show, just over and over and over again, jacking their bags. I guarantee they've watched Squid Game twice in that house, back to back.
Humpty said that I was late for work because I watched Squid Game the full season until 3 a.m.
I think what those boys do, no disrespect, you're a little deeper than them. Like, you'll at least hide why you went to Japan to kill hookers and fucking wear the Midnight Rider mask or do whatever the hell the thing you were doing over there. Say, hi there, I'm Dusty Rhodes, and I'm here to kill hookers. they are so surface level that they just look at the internet, right? They look at what people are talking about on the internet, and then they just go do whatever that says.
They
right?
want the discourse. They want the discourse for the latest movies. I've been fighting off Humpty for a while. I don't want to watch the new Mad Max movie.
I bet they did the Harlem Shake when that was hot. I bet they did planking when that was hot. Like, I bet – I just remember whatever the trend is, like Tide Pods, they probably had to get those off the shelves because of your roommates, you know, whatever an online trend is.
I'll say that living with them, I have been more because a lot of new movies are duds to me. The movies made recently are most of them, when I watch them, are duds. Beekeeper, Wonka, all that. I didn't watch, but yeah, for the most part. But I do enjoy being a part of the current movie conversation.
So I understand.
If it is going out to the theater to see what it is, okay, I can at least say it stunk. Like, so I get that part of it. But
do you mind if I make you angry real quick?
Okay.
Okay, so I just, you know, you seem like you're in a good mood, so I wanted to show you this. Read that headline out to everybody that isn't watching the video.
Jason Statham's best movie in years finally hits streaming.
So what movie do you think they're talking about? Because maybe it's The Transporter, maybe it's Snatch, maybe
Wrath
it's
of Man.
Wrath of Man is a 10 out of 10. The Gentleman, I don't know if he's in that. I don't think he is.
Hold on. Did I just see what they're calling the best?
Now, why don't you read the headline, and then I want you to read this line right here for the listening audience.
Jason Statham's January action flick, The Beekeeper, is now a hit on Prime Video and MGM Plus after a lucrative theatrical run.
I want to make sure that you understand that the way MovieWeb.com characterized The Beekeeper is Jason Statham's best movie in years.
Are they just comparing it to Hobbs and Shaw? Because The Beekeeper is Hobbs and Shaw.
I'd say The Beekeeper is worse than Hobbs and Shaw. Equally as mind-numbingly stupid. I can't imagine. And my buddy Mike Meyer, who is a, you know, crazy fucking Storm the Capitol guy, but sure. Like, as far as pop culture goes, him and I chew a lot of the same dirt. He said it was his favorite Jason Statham movie, and I said, "Are you out of your fucking mind?" It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen, and I don't like criticizing Jason Statham movies because normally, have you seen Crank? Oh, show those idiots Crank. Please show them Crank and tell me it's 80 minutes of fucking insanity with Jason Statham and his giant hog. You see his giant hog in this movie, Tor.
There will be five Cranks at the freaking Crank premiere in the House of Happiness.
I mean, I'm happy the Beekeeper made, like, it did well at the box office because it's just, it's, you know, Jason Statham doing kickboxing or whatever and whipping ass. But we're going to protect the hive. And if we don't take out the queen, then all the honey is going to drive. I mean, count the bee puns in that movie.
What was it? Were the villains surrounded by like crypto? Was that their thing? Like, they were a crypto farm or something?
I don't know. There was some entitled fucking Caucasian bro dog in a suit that was ripping people off, and he was the one that burned down capitalism. I don't know. Maybe it's because there was some message in there they liked, but it's a horrible Jason Statham movie. And I'm very forgiving because I love him. Like, I want to kiss his face. But he's made 15 better movies than that in the past 10 years alone, despite his entire career.
That's a really unfortunate headline to see. It's a bad movie.
I'm surprised you guys haven't watched Wonka after Drab gave it all those rave reviews. It seems to me you're more like-minded to him than you would be doing something that I recommended.
Well, that was a gigantor fight with Chauncey at a theater because he wanted to sneak into a second showing of Wonka. And I said, it's not worth my time to see it.
A second showing? He'd already seen it?
Or he wanted to see we had just went in and watched a movie, and he wanted to watch another movie and go to a different
was playing. He wanted to sneak in like minutes. A cheapskate. Yeah. You'd already paid for one. Right.
He is the cheapest person I know.
How did you find four of the cheapest people that you know to be involved with?
You know what? It, like minds find each other, I guess, in their activity bases. And but I said, look, I don't care that I'd see it for free. my time is more valuable than the 90 minutes I'm going to sit watching Wonka with Timothy Chalamet building his chocolate empire.
Like singing and dancing, and then there's the fucking CGI Hugh Jackman. Who's the Hugh that it is? Hugh Morris?
Hugh
Grant.
Hugh Grant, Hugh, yeah.
There's the CGI Hugh Grant Oompa Loompa. I'm like, what man could walk?
I would if there are singing or song elements in a movie, musical, like that, in that fact, I'm just not going to watch it. That is so far away from my realm. And that's different from a music movie, but like just a musical movie, I can't watch it.
Watch Sweeney Todd. Watch Sweeney Todd. Because as they're singing, he's just cutting people's throats left and right and fucking dumping bodies into a furnace. You won't miss on that one. That's a good one. Please write down Crank. I know you have fleeting time, but it's about an 80-minute movie. And if you need to drag yourself out of some horrificness that happened last night, that one can help you out.
I'm seeing the Crank trailer thumbnail here. Statham with a busted nose and his mouth is what are these teeth?
All right, so can I explain to you what Crank is about,
please?
So Crank, he's like a drug dealer or something. He's a gangster and he's infected with some sort of disease that is turning his heart into stone, and the only way that he can get it to stay alive is he has to keep it pumping real high.
Uh-huh.
So the whole movie, he's running around like a crazy fucking madman, like doing cocaine and drinking energy drinks. And at one point, he hits himself with a defibrillator. And at one point, is it Amy Smart? Who's the chick in that movie? She's a smoke. And at one point, he's got to fuck her in front of like an entire bus full of Asian tourists. Like, there's so much to like in this movie.
Amy Smart. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, if you just want to jerk off to a good old-fashioned Hollywood movie, this is a good one to do it to, because she's just at the height of her powers. Crank 2, there's another crazy sex scene, but it's...
Wait, there's a Crank 2?
Oh, yeah, brother. Crank was a force of nature. Crank was such a big hit tour that there's brothers that directed Crank, right? They gave them the Ghost Rider franchise. They let them direct the next Ghost Rider movie because Crank was such a big hit.
Oh, God,
you sleep on Crank. You disrespect Crank.
Crank and Crank 2 coming up soon.
Yeah, do some cranking too. If you fucking Crank 2, not as good, but it's still entertaining. I wanted to bring this up because I wanted to talk about it earlier in the week when I first saw the story. Because you know me, Tor, when I smell bullshit, it's got to be brought up. But look, there's Mike Florio hating on football. For those of you that don't follow football, Josh Allen is the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, and he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So would it be fair to say, Tor, that he gets an enormous amount of run?
Yeah, a lot of attention goes to Josh Allen, quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. He's exciting. He's big. He runs a lot. Big arm.
Big physical dude.
The NFL likes him.
Josh Allen is also a defensive player on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay, same name. Yeah. He's also very good. And there was one really lamentable game, I think it was 2 years ago, where Josh Allen sacked Josh Allen. And all of the uptight, unfunny, uncreative sports talk guys in suits thought this was Monty Python and the Quest for the Holy Grail. Like, they couldn't get enough of it.
Shoot, it wasn't just the sack. Josh Allen also picked off Josh Allen. So he had a sack and an interception off of Josh Allen.
And they were putting out all these bullshit fucking stats. Like, this is the first time two players, one with the same name. Like, it was all a big, please forgive me, nothing burger. But because these guys have got squadoosh when it comes to creativity, it was just unbelievable. It's the same reason why everybody, when Jason Wirth played for the Nationals, all anyone could talk about was that he had a beard. I was convinced that if Jason Wirth shaved his beard, that everyone would have wanted him out of town because he stopped being productive for that team.
If there's a gimmick, a sports fan will ride that gimmick into the dirt.
Mustaches are the latest that people seem to be really excited about. So Josh Allen, the Jaguars player, it was always confusing because they would say Josh Allen gets a new deal. And you're like, oh, really? I thought he just signed a deal. Oh, it's the Jaguars player, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Josh Allen, the Jaguars player, has announced that he is changing his last name to Josh Hines Allen. Okay?
Joshua Hines Allen. They're swapping out his jersey. I saw he did a big event in Jacksonville where if you had one of his jerseys, you could bring it in and he would give you a brand new Joshua Hines Allen jersey. Okay. I got no problem with this. Here's the problem that I have. The reason he's giving is he's claiming that it is a tribute to the maternal side of his family, that his sister plays in the WNBA, and that she has been using Hines Allen as her last name, which is the mother's maiden name. So he's claiming it's this heroic mom fucking women bit, whatever. And I guess that could potentially be some of it. God damn it. What we all know is the truth is that he's tired of being the second Josh Allen.
Yes.
He's tired of every time someone says Josh Allen. It's not just it could be the other guy. It's 90% of the time it is the other guy, unless the Jacksonville Jaguars are playing on the television at that moment. And let me be the first to tell you, I would feel the same way. I would be pissed. I would feel insecure about it. I would want to lash out and say, I'm my own man. I've got my own creativity. Why does this guy obfuscate everything that I do? And no one's really doing anything wrong here. Because one guy's a defensive player and one guy's a quarterback. But, Tor, I believe in my Bart of Barts 100% that the reason that guy changed his name is because he's fucking sick of that shit. And instead of having a nice human moment where you could come out and be real about it, it's turned into now what we turn everything into, some virtue signaling, I love women more than you do bit. It's like, come on, man. Just we all know what's going on here, and we can all relate to what you're talking about. Let's have a modicum of honesty about this.
Yeah, and it's the – I remember when – remember when we had the Steve Smiths, one in New York, one in Carolina?
Sure.
Yeah, that was a year, a year or two where it was –
But they both played wide receiver.
They both played wide receiver, and one was definitively Steve Smith in Carolina better than Steve Smith in New York, even though Steve Smith in New York, I think, had like 1,100-yard season, 10 touchdowns.
He had one good season.
But that's – you know – There's a bit of a gap there. Josh Allen is a pretty premier edge rusher, and then Josh Allen is also a very good quarterback. So maybe if we want to differentiate and try to be, if I'm getting a maxed out deal, I don't want it just to be, you know, the other Josh Allen still. I want it. So I do think it was, hey, this is me. I'm going to sack quarterbacks and I'm going to make tackles and I am Josh Hines Allen. And then that's how we're going to start differentiating from here on out.
Do you want to know the worst example of this that I can give you over the past couple of months where there was two guys with two names and everybody thought one thing and it wasn't at all what everybody – there's a I'm trying to remember. I found it. This was unbelievable. I've never seen people be shittier. I shouldn't say that. It was one of those the most glaring examples I've ever seen of people being shitty on the internet. Was when, do you remember when Jimmy Johnson died?
Oh, the driver?
No. And not the Hall of Fame coach of the Dallas Cowboys. It was Hall of Famer Jimmy Johnson of the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh.
Do you remember this?
I don't recall this. Okay. I'm familiar with Jimmy Johnson, the wide receiver now, but
he was 86 years old. He went into the Hall of Fame in 1994, and it most assuredly was not the three-time Super Bowl champion Jimmy Johnson from the Dallas Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
If you clicked on this name on any social media, it was nothing to do about the man who had just passed away, and I'm sure his family was mourning, and he etched out not just a legacy for himself, but a Hall of Fame legacy. It was about, oh, I thought that was the guy from TV. It just nobody has any tact at all whatsoever, and same names is like the lowest common denominator of something being entertaining for dumb people. So when I saw that, I remembered that when I listened to this Josh Allen story, and I'm like, that's what he's looking to avoid.
To get away from that, yeah.
Yeah, like when he passes away and they say, or Josh Allen retires, everyone's going to go, what? I thought the Bills were going to be in the playoffs this year. Like, I would want to get the fuck away from that too. I just don't think it's because his mom's maiden name is Hines.
I think there's a there was a broadcaster who, whose name was Jerry Jones. He says, what? Or his name was Stephen Jones, actually. He said, you know, what do I have to answer for every time that that dumb GM in Dallas does something and I have you all in my mentions? I'm tired of it. You know, I'm Stephen Jones, the broadcaster. I'm not Stephen Jones, Cowboys GM. Stop tweeting me about it.
What about when Kevin McCarthy, BDK, the movie reviewer, people thought he was noted Republican Kevin McCarthy, and they were just tweeting him savage shit on social media all day. I mean, there's a million examples of this. Who was the guy, what was the name of the guy in Penn State that was banging all the kids in the fucking showers?
Joe Paterno.
No, it wasn't Joe Paterno. Oh, I want to make sure that we're clear on that.
No.
Don't clip it. Whatever you do, don't clip that.
No.
What was his name? How fleeting my fucking memory is. There was an announcer, I think, in Baltimore that had the Sandusky.
Sandusky.
There was an announcer in Baltimore that had the same fucking name. And like, if you Google it, there's a whole article, I think it was in the Baltimore Sun, written about how he's like, I'm not changing my fucking name, you know, because this guy did this thing. I'm not going to be bullied out of my name, and we're going to continue doing what we do. Fuck that. The second that happens, I'm changing my name. I'm out of there. I'm not hanging around while these people scream at me.
Yeah. I'm answering for it all the time too. Every time. Oh, really? Oh no, not that. It's tough. It's tough having to always. Yeah.
Al Sal thinks that what you said was inappropriate. He's an officer of the law.
Not Paterno.
Al Sal, I'll give you his address if you want to cruise on by. Actually, just do me a favor. DM Orgy Beard. He'll give you Tor's address. He'll be there for at least another 32 hours.
What are we doing, a block party?
I just love for Al Sal and some of his boys to come by and Miller's crossing your ass while you're out there. That'd be fucking fantastic. Oh, boy. The confidence in which he said Paterno too. Yeah, I know.
I thought I had it quick. I thought I had the quick answer. College football guy. You should know maybe the biggest scandal in the last 20 years.
Oh, I forgot Sandusky, but you know what we call that, right? Saying something with a lot of conviction when you don't know it. Call that pulling a Santana.
Oh,
I'm kidding. Of course. So look, will you at least try, what are you going to try to get done? If you have a say in the final movie at the House of Happiness, what is it? What's it going
to
be?
I'm going to pitch Miller's Crossing. Going to have to do that. Backup pitch is Crank, and then backup pitch is Crank 2.
Can I ask you something? I would say reverse that. Pitch Crank first because it's only 80 minutes, and Miller's Crossing is like 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that is a different in your power structure there as far as what you guys find amenable, but I think that would be probably more palatable if you're trying to get something over. Because who is reneging on their ability to pick a movie for the final evening, because there's four of you guys.
Yeah, so this would be Honky's pick. Honky tried to watch the Real Bros of Simi Valley movie last night, but because it's on the Roku channel.
What is the Real Bros? What is that?
The Real Bros of Simi Valley was an online like sketch comedy group almost with Jimmy Trattoria. I think you would know his face if you saw him.
This is a real thing?
They did a show, like a faux reality show in Simi Valley has some California Christ. Dirt bags, and then they're popular with.
Say no more, fam. Say no more. I'm out. 100% out. I can't even explain to you how annoying that sounds to me. Quick plug: if you are free on August 1st, Chad Duke Show is going to be out at Monk's Barbecue in Percival. That is Thursday, August 1st. For a Hall of Fame game watch party, yes, I'm quite aware how lame the Hall of Fame game is. Don't give a fuck. It's guys wearing NFL helmets banging into each other on the field. Monk's Barbecue is the place. You know the food's delicious. You know the drinks are delicious. We will have prizes. Money Monk will actually be there, which is very rare. We're debuting our very own burger, the pigskin burger for it. Brand new Chad Duke Show tea will be available on site. To go along with that, we are offering up the first ever tour. What is it called? Candle exclusive episode, where you buy a beautiful both types of sports candle. That is, of course, the show you and I do, football show, each and every week. And there will be a little barcode on that candle. You scan it, you get a free episode along with your candle. How cool is that?
And it's a good episode too. Me, Shude, and Ant-Man got together. We got together.
You like my spokesmodel?
I do.
Jim Jester is the spokesmodel for the Chad Duke Show official football season ringer tee, which will be available Thursday, August 1st at Monk's as well.
It's a good-looking shirt.
Let's see. Tor, myself, and Ant-Man got together to play Does Ant-Man Know It? NFL Edition. And I'm not going to spoil anything, Tor. I'll just say, first of all, I thought it was very funny. And secondly, lots of surprises. Lots of surprises in this episode.
I'm always left with more questions after talking with Anthony about football than I had coming in with prepared for him.
And not the way people think either. You'll be surprised no matter what happens. But episode and a candle all in one. We'll have our new shirt. We're going to have prizes to give out and the whole cast of characters from the show, minus, of course, Jersey Joe, who will be up there at Kevin Smith's secret stash or doing whatever the fuck he's doing up there. But he will be here next Friday, friendos. I've had a lot of people send me like almost like a obituary for you, Gigantor. And I'm like, he's still doing two episodes a week with me. You're still going to be able to check him out, and you can listen to his show if you want. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I did I'm very happy with the balance. I think that me and you do a very good Friday show, going through the topics and the lists, and even letting you hear about the turmoil about the movie selection in my house.
I need that, as all the kids say, injected into my veins. There's nothing I like more. I'm going to miss the House of Happiness shtick so badly, because you know why, Tor? It had that riz. The House of Happiness had that riz. You know what I mean?
Can't do this.
Oh, boy. You got to understand, people. Me saying something that sounds mildly accurate to someone Tor's age, it would be like him walking in on his parents making out. He just has to run right out of the fucking room. Right? I mean, it's that unpleasant for you when I do that bit.
There's a tangible level of uncomfortability when that bit is being done. Hands are sweating. That's great.
Oh, fucking Enoch's hating hard. He said, damn, that shirt makes you like drabby, acceptable thin. What are you talking about? You're saying that fucking Jester doesn't really look like that? How dare you, Enoch? That's a picture of him wearing the shirt. I took it myself right here in the studio. If you're listening on iTunes, you'd like to see the picture we're talking about, go to at Chad Duke Show on Instagram. There is a picture up there as we speak. Tor, thank you so much. Appreciate you being here, brother man. Have a safe move and keep in touch. I will meet you back here next week at this time.
Sounds good, Chude.
Excellent. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get the free Friday episode of the Chad Duke Show. And if you like what you hear, we do one of these every day of the week. Go to ChadDukesShow.com. Consider plunking down a credit card to keep the sails filled with wind moving forward and roll out the trash cans.
If you're in the market for a new roof or any roof-based jobs, head on over to robinhoodroofing.us or give them a call at 571-473-5940. You'll even get 25% off on all jobs when you mention the Chad Duke Show. That's robinhoodroofing.us or 571-473-5940.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.